Thank you, Andrew. Good morning. I'm Stephen, pastor of Community Life, one of the elders here at Trinity. It's an honor and privilege to study and open God's word with you this morning. Because God is good and does good, may our hearts be moved to learn from his word. I'm emotional. I get super excited. Yeah. And I'm also a crier. Are there any criers in the room? Yeah, this is a good room full of criers. We're going to weep tears of joy today. It's okay to cry. According to doctors at WebMD, crying can have some positive effects on your well-being and can actually help you to manage your emotions. I discovered that there are three types of tears. Basal tears, which are constantly present in the eyes. They provide lubrication and disinfection, comprising of water, salt, mucus, and oil to prevent evaporation. And another type of tears is emotional tears. They are shed during significant emotional experiences and contain stress hormones. And then there's irritant tears. When someone irritates you, you get super emotional. No, that's not it. Irritant tears occur when something irritates the eye, such as when we cut onions. So crying has its benefits, and it can enhance your mood and help maintain emotional balance. Jesus cried. An easy verse to memorize is John 11:35. Just two words. Jesus wept. So you already got the word in your soul. Crying is good for the soul. You're never too emotional or too sensitive if you cry. So I guess that means that we should cry more often. And we have a sermon series coming up in the fall on emotions, so we better practice getting emotional. It's going to be 8 weeks of emotions. Psalm 119 is an emotional psalm. It's a very intimate and personal psalm. God's word moved the psalmist to pray to the Lord with tears of joy and tears of sorrow. This morning, will you allow God's spirit to move in your heart as you receive God's divine grace and mercy through his word? Let's pray for God to help us. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your word. Help us to love you above all things, to open your word, to long for your word, to keep your word, and to receive your word. Help us, help me, Lord, to feed your people, to love your people. I need your help, Lord. Help me in these things by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of King Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Are you ready to receive this morning's message with great eagerness and examine the scriptures to see if what I am saying is true? You guys ready for that? Let's do it. We're in Psalm 119, verses 129 through 136. Open the word and go there now. The psalmist has provided us with a beautifully arranged acrostic pattern following the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we are in the 17th section of Psalm 119. And the letter is Pe. Pronounce that with me, everyone. Pe. As we read through the psalm together, notice how personal this prayer is. Lord, be gracious to me. Turn to me. Redeem me. Teach me. Your testimonies are wonderful. I long for your commandments. My eyes shed tears. And pay close attention to the psalmist's range of emotions. From his awe of who God is to his weeping and compassion for those who don't keep God's law. And try to make his prayer, the psalmist's prayer, try to make it your prayer. Make it your prayer. So I've divided this stanza into four parts. Verses 129, 130, you'll notice that God's word provides light and understanding. In verses 131 and 132, God's word nourishes our souls. 133 and 134, God's word holds us fast in difficult times. 135, 136, God's word moves our hearts to weep. So here's our big idea. God's wonderful and illuminating word nourishes our souls, holds us fast, and moves our hearts to weep. God's wonderful and illuminating word nourishes our souls, holds us fast, and moves our hearts to weep. So first, we need to open God's word. I hope that you have opened God's word. Is it opened? Yes? Open it. Open it. Opens God's word because it provides light and understanding. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Wonderful are your testimonies, says the psalmist. God's testimonies are the things that bear witness about who God is, what God requires of his people. The truth that he has given us through his spoken word. And the testimonies of God, they're out of this world. Do you believe that they're out of this world, that they are supernatural, that they are divine, that they are miracles? And God's testimonies are a delight to his people. They are a delight to his people. God's word brings joy to a redeemed heart. We know that God parted the waters of the Red Sea so that the Israelites could pass through and escape as the Egyptian army pursued them. God had delivered Israel, had redeemed them out of slavery in Egypt, and that was a wonderful testimony. In response to God's deliverance, Moses sings, "Who is like you, O Lord? Who is like you among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Who is like you?" And these wonders, they are not just stories. They are true stories, wonderful testimonies about who God is and what he has done for his people. God's wonderful testimonies shed light on how you and I are to live under his reign and rule. The psalmist praises God because he has declared these wonderful testimonies through his word. Are God's testimonies wonderful to you? Are God's testimonies wonderful to you? Are you in awe of God's testimonies? Do they cause your heart to be stirred up? Your eyes to well up with tears of joy? Because God's testimonies are wonderful, the psalmist keeps them. He keeps them close to his heart. He treasures them. And as we heard last week, we are called to love God's commandments above gold, above fine gold. God's testimonies are more precious than silver, more costly than gold, and more beautiful than diamonds. The psalmist continues to praise God. Verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. God's words gives light. They illuminate the soul so that the eyes of the heart can be opened to see what God requires of his people. God reveals his words. His words provide an entrance, an opening, a doorway. Think of being in a dark place and you see a glimmer of light. And doesn't that light shine so brightly in the darkness? My wife, Rebecca, and I have blackout shades in our bedroom so that it's nice and cool in there so that we can sleep well. And they are designed to block any light from getting in. And when we wake up in the morning, we open the curtains, we unfold the blinds so that the sunlight can break through into the room. And the sunlight pierces into my closed and crusty eyes, breaking in. And I love when it breaks in, makes my morning. If you're in the woods, I don't like the woods, you guys know this, and it's late at night, it's good to have a flashlight so that you can see. I have a super high-powered flashlight. Ask Logan. Knowing where you're at and where you're headed is good. God's word gives light so that we no longer have to live in darkness. When it seems like there is darkness all around you, open the word of God. Why? Because not only does God's word provide light, it imparts understanding to the simple. And simple here is not negative. It refers to being inexperienced or unlearned. Be teachable, open-minded. When you start to read the word of God and meditate upon it, regardless of how much you don't know, or how foolish the world thinks that you are, the word of God, by the power of God's Spirit, will give you understanding. It will give you light. It will give you light. When things seem confusing and disorienting, the word of God brings you back to center, to a good starting point. King David in Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The word of God is clear." That's the doctrine of the clarity of Scripture. Anyone can understand it. Scripture is clear. A child can understand it. Parents, that is why you should diligently teach your children God's word. And children and youth and all of us. That is why you should listen to your parents, because they are teaching you God's word. God's testimonies can make anyone wise. And in contrast to having your eyes enlightened by God's word, if you're not in God's word, you remain in darkness. The good news is, if you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he is your one and only Savior, you have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the beloved Son, King Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If the word of God is not guiding you, you will not see clearly how you are supposed to live. You will not see clearly who God is and who God says that you are. So cry out with tears. Pray with tears so that you may become a person of the word of God. Ask God to reveal himself to you and be honest of your low estate before him. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Are you willing to stop doing what is right in your own eyes and trust that God will enlighten your eyes to see more than you could ever imagine? God wants to be in relationship with you. Do you want to be in relationship with him? Open his word and let him fill your heart with eternal joy. And this is why the psalmist pants and opens his mouth to God, because God nourishes his soul. We are to long for God's word because it nourishes your soul. I open my mouth and pant, verse 131, because I long for your commandments. Long for, desire to open wide your mouth. The psalmist desperately longs to know and obey Yahweh's commands, God's commands. It's like these voracious, hungry baby birds, mouths wide open, waiting expectantly, anticipating at any moment for a worm or insect to drop into their mouths. And when the worm drops, they devour it and quickly open their mouths for another worm. That's a great job by Mama Bird, by the way. She's like, "These boys are hungry. I'm gonna get all the worms." Your children, your toddlers, open their mouths wide when being fed. They put their hands together, giving that universal sign, "More, more. I'm hungry, I'm hungry." They want you to shove that spoon into their open mouth, even when there's already a ton of yogurt all over their face and lips. It's all up on their forehead and whatever hair they got. They're just eating it all up, licking it all up. God wants to feed his people. He wants to feed his people good things, things of heaven. Listen to the word of God in Psalm 81, verse 10. "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." Are we like babes, like children who can't wait to be fed, who can't wait to sit at the feet of King Jesus and listen to and love his commandments? Do you want to long to hear the word of God being preached? Do you long to read God's word, to study God's word, to meditate on God's word? Do you long to be refreshed by God's word? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Are you feeling paralyzed this morning? Overwhelmed by the demands of life, by the stress and chaos of life, by the temptation of sin in your life? Do you feel like your wheels are spinning or like you're stuck in reverse? You won't know what moving forward is like until you open your heart and mouth to receive God's grace, God's word. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you tired? Go to Jesus. Find rest. Let Jesus give you rest by resting in him. And let's be more like the psalmist who can't get enough of God's word. Let the tears flow from your eyes and cry out for God's mercy. Receive the love, grace, and mercy that is in Christ Jesus. The psalmist asks for even more than being fed. He prays, verse 132, turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Can't get enough of God. He says, do you see me, Lord? Do you see me, Lord? Pay attention to me. I'm here. Turn and look at me. And that's personal. And that's confidence. Cry out for him to pay attention to you. It's your custom, O Lord, to look graciously upon your servants. It's your divine judgment. It's your authoritative decision to be gracious to your people, to those who love your name. God looks upon the low estate of his people, and he is gracious to them. The Lord himself proclaimed in Exodus 34, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Ask God to turn and look upon you and be gracious to you. God wants to be close to those who love him. Do you love God? When you love someone, you want to spend time with them. You want to speak with them. You want to hear from them. You want them to notice you, to pay attention to you. You love them because they love you. We love, why? Because God first loved us. That's another short verse to memorize. 1 John 4:19. Think about how God has loved you. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. That's Jesus. Can you see the psalmist's eyes filling up with tears? Tears of joy because he knows God loves him. This is why the psalmist can be confident that God will hold him fast. That's why we sing it aloud. He will hold me fast. Trust that he loves you. Trust that he loves you. God will hold him fast during dark and challenging times. This is why we keep God's word, because it holds you fast in difficult times. God's love causes the psalmist to continue to pray. Verse 133, keep my eyes steady according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Direct my steps, order my steps, make firm my steps, keep me from falling. Guide me with an upright heart, a heart that honors you and trusts you and loves you and obeys you. He asks God to do this according to God's promise, according to his word, to the truth that God has already spoken. God will keep him upright because God personally spoke it. And the psalmist continues, let no iniquity, no sin, no wickedness, no wrongdoing, no evil. Don't let that overtake me or dominate me. Let no idolatry get dominion over me. Anything that replaces your devotion to God is idolatry. You might be devoting yourself to the worship of money. We all know that money can become an idol. That's what Jesus said. You'll either worship God or money. It can become an idol because you trust that money will bring you joy and peace instead of trusting that God alone will bring you joy and peace. And do you remember how Paul warned the Corinthian church about idolatry? He said, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And then he says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And we know that John says that at the end of his letter in 1 John. Children, keep yourself from idols. The psalmist doesn't want to sin against God. He loves God and he knows that God loves him. When you fall into the temptation of sin, you are drifting into paths of unrighteousness, into darkness. And our hearts are prone to wander, right? We sing, Lord, we feel it. The further you drift away from God, the harder it is to return to God. The good news is that when you are trapped in a cycle of sin, in the snare of Satan, cry out to Jesus. Cry out for God to save you. Cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let God fill your heart with goodness. God is good and does good. When your cup overflows with the love of God, when your heart beats for things above, wrongdoing and sin are hard to look at. Sin is hard to digest. Sin tastes nasty. Sin leaves an even worse aftertaste. Beloved, remember these things when you are about to fall into temptation. Remind yourself that Jesus is so much better. Set up an appointment with the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, King Jesus. His schedule is never too full. He won't limit your time with him. He won't charge you for your time with him. And the portion you receive from spending time with King Jesus will never be taken away from you. Do you believe that? Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And notice how the psalmist asked for God to redeem him from the sin of others. Verse 134, redeem me from man's oppression that I may keep your precepts. Redeem me, deliver me, rescue me. If he falls into the hands of lawless men, it will be difficult for him to keep God's precepts. And God's precepts are the detailed application of God's truth in our daily activities. Think about this. God cares about your every moment. God is watching you. He cares for you in all areas of your life. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, David was to take a census of Israel and Judah. And David's heart was struck because he had numbered the people. David confessed that he had sinned against God. But because of God's mercy, David was allowed to choose which judgment would come upon him, would come upon Israel. Either 3 years of famine on the land, 3 days of pestilence on the land, or 3 months of fleeing from enemies while they pursued David. And David's reply, "I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man." David knew that God's justice is always better than man's justice. You don't want to be under the oppression of men who don't follow God. You want to forever be a servant of the Most High God. Psalm 84:10, "For a day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." The psalmist wants no obstacles in the way of redemption that God gives, the redemption that allows for eternal liberation. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So we stand firm and we do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We submit to the yoke that Jesus gives, that light yoke. That light yoke. Like the psalmist, you want freedom from your own sin and freedom from the sin of others. And the psalmist knows that the only way that this kind of close walk with God can happen is if he falls into the hands of the loving and merciful triune God. So only now can the psalmist weep with tears of confidence and compassion. We receive God's word because it moves our hearts to weep. He continues his prayer, verse 135, "Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes." This prayer from the psalmist is an echo of the blessing that Aaron was to speak over God's people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Imagine yourself, like the psalmist, reaching out to heaven, reaching out to be in the presence of God Almighty. Right now, ask that the light of God's face would shine upon you. Say that little prayer in your head right now. Reach out to heaven. Reach out to heaven. Ask that it would shine upon you so that you would experience the peace and the pure love of God that surpasses all understanding. And the psalmist does this amid the cold, oppressive darkness surrounding him, both from within and from without. If you checked out, check back in real quick. Listen closely. Imagine yourself drawing near to Jesus. And he's smiling at you as you come closer to him. Imagine that. Imagine that even the slightest smile on the face of Jesus, his slightest move towards you would be more comforting and worth more than anything that this world could ever offer. Take a moment to imagine that, that Jesus is smiling upon you with open arms, saying, "Come to me." That moves my heart. And don't overlook that truth. God delights in you as you delight in King Jesus. So what if you began this morning to expect that Jesus is always ready to welcome you into his presence with open arms and with a warm smile? Imagine if we all did that together. You know the heart of Jesus. I've given you copies. We've given you copies. Jesus is gentle and lowly. You know this. He is a sympathetic high priest who intercedes for his people. Jesus loves you that much, regardless of how much you've disobeyed him, regardless of how often that you've ran away from him. That's why we can't help but throw ourselves at his feet and say, I am not worthy to untie your sandal. And you cannot help but weep and wipe his feet with your tears. You want to follow Jesus, the master teacher. Let him teach you. We want God to teach us, just like the psalmist wants to learn from the God whose steadfast love endures forever. The psalmist can weep tears of joy because God teaches him all good things. And the psalmist is also compassionate and able to shed streams of tears because people don't keep God's law. Verse 136, my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Channels of water run down his eyes. And the psalmist right here is employing hyperbole, similar to when we say, I cried my eyes out. He is overcome with grief, with sorrow, because people don't follow God's law. They refuse to experience the mercy, the grace, and the love of God. The tender and warm affection of his presence. And we should weep like the psalmist. I want more of a heart that is moved with compassion like the psalmist. I don't weep enough. Not like the psalmist. As you draw near to God through his word, your heart will be moved to weep over those who don't obey God's instruction. Your heart will be moved to weep over those who don't follow King Jesus. Is that the posture of your heart? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, we are told, as was the custom of Jesus, he stood up to read the word of God. He enrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And as all eyes were fixed upon Jesus, he said to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The light of the world was before their eyes. Jesus was imparting understanding to the simple. And in Matthew's gospel, as Jesus stood and concluded his Sermon on the Mount, who came to him? It was the leper who came and knelt before King Jesus. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. The face of God shining. Some people would turn to believe Jesus and his words, but not everyone. Those who didn't believe in the words of Jesus were still in darkness. And because of this, Jesus ends up weeping over Jerusalem. The Lord is so patient with us. Isn't that good news? The gospel of Jesus is the good news of Jesus. The good news is that Jesus lived a perfect life, a perfect obedient life, a sinless life. He died in my place for my sins and for your sins. God raised him from the dead on the third day, and he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. The face of Jesus is shining upon those who love him and call on his name and confess him as Lord and Savior. And as God the Father turned his face away from Jesus on the cross, we who turn our faces to Jesus, God the Father will make his face to shine upon us. In Christ Jesus, God looks upon us with a smile. So today, will you call on God's wonderful testimonies? Will you call them wonderful? Because you know the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, King Jesus. If you have yet to call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is waiting for you to open his word, to long for his word, to keep his word, and to receive his word. Because Jesus is the word. Wonder, marvel at how God loves you, and weep for those yet to love God. Psalm 119, 129 through 126 through 136. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Let's just take a moment to quietly consider what God has revealed to us this morning.